see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. For those just joining us, this is the Watchman for Jesus program, Watchman for Jesus show, whatever you want to call it. And you're welcome. I'm here 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. Today, Wednesday, the 25th of February, 2015, and you all are welcome. Really, you are. I mean, really mean that. So, family, today, I feel justified to continue talking about the veteran genocide. Isn't that dramatic? A veteran genocide. Who's ever talked about that before? You talked about the genocide of the Jews. You talked about the genocide of the Albanians at the time, the genocide of the Serbs, the genocide over in genocide, where the others kill others, you know. That's exactly what's going on today, is this genocide that's happening. A family, I need to, for a second here, put on, I have a little bit of a technical issue, so I want you all to stand by, and I will be right with you. Stand by.
Ground, through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, born by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. Here in the death of Christ I live.
Back with you. Everything's fine and dandy. Got everything worked out. Appropriate, actually. I just threw that on there because I had to do something right quick. And actually, it worked out really well. Appropriately. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And boy, let's get started. Got a lot to tell you today and tomorrow and Friday. Unload as much as I can while I can. Lord, thank you tonight. This afternoon, Father, that we pray we're able to come together today. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we lift up to you this broadcast and, Father, the Bible studies and, Father, this work we do in your service, Lord, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities. We thank you, Lord, for our families. We thank you, Lord, for the infirmities you give us that makes us stronger. Father, give us that wisdom, discernment that we need, Lord, to see through this deception. And, Father, to see your light through the end here, Lord, that will guide us through. Lord, and give us that strength we need in these coming times in the everyday life. Lord, we pray on the full armor of God in these days we see coming. Lord, we see the increase of the end times activities and the prophecies seem to be lining up to come true for the end times that we see that really the beginning of times of eternity. Father, we see the different than any other time. And Father, we see the evil coming out too. Because Father, that know they have a short time on this earth. They have a short time in their existence. Father, where they are today. The Father, their time on this earth is going to be real short. And Father, they know that. And Father, that's why it's increasing. Father, we pray on that belt of truth. That Father, we can learn that truth and give out that truth. And Father, that we may be protected and held up by the truth of your living word. And Father, we pray on that breastplate of righteousness. Protect our vital organs inside our inner man and woman. And cover the integrity, our spirit and soul with that breastplate to protect us on the inside. To guard our heart, for it's a wellspring of life. And Lord, that we pray on those gospel shoes of peace. To stand in the shoes of your good news on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, who's our solid rock, and receive your peace, Jesus Christ, from the sole of our feet to the crown of our head. And Father, we pray on the shield of faith into our hand right now, and we take up that shield of faith and ask that you might extinguish every dart and arrow that's launched from the enemy to take us down, spiritually, physically, mentally, or emotionally. And that it'll flame out. And Father, give us the courage to face our fears by choosing to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, to pray on the helmet of salvation to guard our thoughts, our mind, from any attack that may happen. And Father, protect us certainly from being double-minded, that we would allow our minds, which is a command center of the rest of the body, to be saturated, though to be the mind of Christ. And finally, Lord, we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon, and it is the Word of God in the King James Bible. We pray that into our hand and ask that your Word would be fitting for every encounter we face, and Lord, to write it on our hearts to be able to use that Word to defeat the wiles of the devil. And Lord, we pray that you put it on our hearts that we are able to give to others the word of God. And Lord, we do pray for our enemies as well. To strengthen our families. To give courage as well. Strengthen, Lord, the veterans and protect them from the attack that's happening, Father. And the children are being targeted. That their minds are being misled by these school systems of humanistic teaching. And Father, by the activities that are causing distraction. And Father, to help the veterans, to help the Masons to renounce the blood oaths. Get those blood oaths out of their system. And to bring back their families. That there's no barriers, no secrets within the families. And Father, we pray for those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, the rehab centers. Protect those bodies from the pills and the vaccines are being shoved in their bodies. And mental institutions we know that are cohabitated by the demonic realm. And those incarcerated that are conflicted in where they are. And Father, we pray for all those we've prayed for in the past. For individuals. And Lord, that we know that the answer lies in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Father, you say that if my people, which are called by your name, would humble themselves and pray, and then seek your face and turn from the wicked ways. Then we would hear from heaven, would have our sin forgiven, and would have our land healed. Father, we need help in this. We need men to come out that's going to preach the gospel. Men to come out that knows what's going on, that's going to teach or expose the truth. We pray for an awakening in the churches today. We pray for those in the school system that's going to come out and expose what's going on there. But Father, we want most of all wisdom, discernment, to be prepared for these end times events when they really take place. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I see today is just the middle of the week, Wednesday, and I have a lot to cover today, a little more specific about the attack on the veterans. I spent 3 days trying to explain why that would even be possible, why that would even be a thought. I mean, maybe others have talked about it, but I haven't heard it in a while from anyone that where our own military leaders are part of the attack of our own military. Going back to the 1950s, carried on through the secret societies and the Illuminati, which is real. There's no doubt about that. And you know, it's hard to explain to people why would they do that since they were part of the military too. Well, just like Albert Pike and all the rest of them. The ones they want to recruit, they bring in with a salt and pepper approach, if that's what it takes. They already have identified that we need to use him or her or them. And they cast their lot out, the Illuminati, the Freemasons at the highest level. And they are good. They are good at convincing. And they'll give them so much truth, just enough, to show how powerful they really are, as they believe they are. And it's better to join us than just to fade away. But this is for the good of mankind. The ends justify the means. There's a bigger picture here, they say. But once they've introduced this to the individual, that person's clock has started. Because now they know. So if they don't join, there's a double whammy going on here. Russo found out, and he died of cancer. They can give you cancer. You can be dead in 30 days, 6 months, a year. Depends on the virus that they introduce to you. You can die of a heart attack. This is not TV or fiction. It's truth. The Jesuits call it the poison cup. The Jesuits are a bunch of murderers. That's all they are. Psychos that are out in the open and educated, going to schools, going to universities, coming out, going into the military, going into religion, going into politics. But undercover, they're Jesuits. You have First Baptist ministers that are Jesuits, Methodists, Presbyterian in the religious field. You got colonels, generals that are Jesuits, just as friendly as they can be. Have barbecues even, probably. I bet their wife can make an apple pie just like crazy. But inside, they're murderers, literally. And they belong to the Council of Foreign Relations. That's proven to be a murdering cult. Fact. And they advise our White House on what to do. Now, the ones below, about 90%, don't have a clue. They're into their little world of studies, and policies are important, have their own parking place. They don't know what's going on behind the closed doors. That's how it really works. So they convince this general then, at some point in time, They tried to pick General Butler, you see, but he fooled them. What did he do? He went to Congress and blew the whistle on the attempted military coup of the U.S. government. He blew the whistle. Dirk Stein McCormick, congressional hearing. Confirmed it. Confirmed. Not a theory. Fact. And even Canada, in investigating of their Customs and Excise Service, they found as corrupt, but subsequent, they found out this conspiracy to destroy both the United States and Canada's nations. They swept that under the carpet. These are documented cases, man. This is not a theory. It's been hidden all along. They find it, they hide it. Someone tells a story, they kill them. That's the reality. This is non-negotiable. This is not a theory. This is how Satan operates in the supernatural. When you say, Satan, oh, now you bring religion in. Really? Well, some of your generals, some of your congressmen, some of your CEOs, some of your politicians, they wear those robes. They sacrifice children. They sacrifice animals. They go to Bohemian Grove. That's a fact. Pictures of Reagan and Nixon. You can go back to the 70s and 80s thereabouts, and there's pictures of them at Bohemian Grove. That's an occult group where all the elite go. Your Club of Rome, Club of Rome, your Bilderberg group, all those, they all work together. UN, Trilateral Commission, later in 1973. They're all connected. Family bloodlines. And they're not family, they bring them in through the secret societies. They put them under a blood oath. They don't do what they're supposed to do, works opposite. Allegations of corruption, bribery, adultery, whatever it is comes up, or they die on a fishing trip or get shot by Cheney accidentally when they're hunting. So there's different ways that they get rid of someone that they don't want around anymore that's been brought into the high-level coven. This is the reality of what you're dealing with today, but it's temporary. You know why it's temporary? There's a man named David Shum, memorial service, and was celebrated somewhere back in 2-3 years ago. Celebrated the optimism, perseverance, and faith of a man who had severe cerebral palsy, and for all of his 74 years, simple task of just daily life required a lot of effort. Through it all, he kept smiling and helping others by giving more than 23,000 hours as a hospital volunteer, and he also encouraged at-risk, quote-unquote, at-risk teens. Now, he knew he was going to die eventually, and he selected Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 10, to be read at his service. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and the recompense of God, that he will come and save you. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in wilderness and streams in the desert. That promise is given to the people of Israel, held in captivity, and it will remind us of our hope at the time when Christ will return, and return for those who trust and follow him. It's all a matter of free choice, by the way. They can take that crucifix off your chest. It's nothing but a doodad and an idol made out of something. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't mean anything. What means something is what's inside you. Holy Spirit. The cross on your neck is an idol. It's a stone, or it's, metal or plastic or whatever. Symbols don't mean anything except for the occult. The Holy Spirit resides inside you. They can't take that away. It's impossible. But you have to invite him in. During David's S-C-H-U-M-M, his last weeks, he pointed visitors to a large picture of Jesus near his bed, saying, "He's coming to get me soon. I'm going home soon." Going home. This is not your home. This earth is not your home. It is temporary. I try to get this across to people. Everything on this earth, I mean everything, dies, rusts, rots, given away, stolen, thermodynamics takes care of it. That's not permanent. God's not going to put investment into an earth that's going, he's going to destroy and refix, recreate. I mean, there's a lot of pounding yet to come. Everything done since the day he created Adam and Eve. Everything done evil to upon people from then till now is going to come out in the seven trumpets. Nobody's getting away with nothing. Anything at all. Not one individual that's ever lived since Adam and Eve till right now, and then after, until the time comes, every single one supernaturally will be judged. But he's coming to get you soon. And that's the hope Jesus Christ gives to all his children. And those children which calls forth the thanks and praise to him. David McCollum said, Peterson for Peterson. Peterson said, "Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming soon." If he comes in 10 years, that's soon. Eternity is a long time. 10 years and it's nothing. The angels that bring messages to you supernaturally, Holy Spirit, when you're born again Christian, God gives you knowledge, wisdom, discernment. But if Satan can get you to put a spell on yourself, to get you to fall away, they can intercept that message. Do you know that? It's such an amazing thing that's going on around us we can't see. It's all physics, biology, chemistry. You say, "Well, what's that got to do with genocide of veterans?" It's got everything to do with them. Because the drugs that they're given takes away their willpower. And the drugs affects their DNA properties. Weakens their resolve. Makes them either fearful, but the drugs have an effect. It's an abomination to the body. So is the vaccinations. Things, alterations to the body, opens up portals for those demonic entities to come inside, just to be quite blunt. Some don't know that. And that's why they use the drugs to open up the portals. The demons then start working on the mind, depressing the body, depressing the soul. Now that's supernatural. But I hope to talk today to show you how they've synthesized, made synthetic demonic influence. While I'm thinking about it, let me give you an example. Plutarch determined that the vibrational properties of solid properties on this earth, where you can interact with it, is 7.8 hertz. Hertz is energy, right? Energy from what? Moving molecules. What makes an ice cube solid is the particles move slowly. Now you use energy, and you like that slowly. You take energy and you increase it, heat. It increases the rapid vibration, thermodynamics. And what happens? It melts. Turn it up to extra high. It affects again. Properties get, the molecules get faster. Turns into steam. There's your three heavens. Ice, water, steam. Physical, second heaven, and third heaven. Different vibrational properties. So the vibrational properties of what we interact with on a daily basis in our life, what we think is solid, operates on 7.8 hertz in between there. Okay, here's my point very quickly. Not to get into all that right now, but just to give you an idea how this is not just some philosophical idea of religion and all that. This is real. So they discovered that when you take ELF transmissions with HARP and other ways, ELF transmission, and you target the individual that's got a microchip in their body, or their DNA is identified in a database, you understand? Or they can blanket a grid square, or a town, or a mall, or a riot, where there's people, either individually or groups, or the individual veteran, or a group of veterans. You got it now? Or a school? Depends what their target is with ELF transmission. And you exert from that transmission 6 hertz. It causes the individual to have depression. And they don't know why. Anthony Sutton confirms this. If you increase it to 11 hertz or 12, you got yourself a riot you will not stop. And they don't know why. They're killing each other. Now you put the voice-to-skull technology into the system, like the microchip, and you put the voices in the head called voice-to-skull technology, which Walmart uses in some of their stores. Oh yeah. Using microwave transmission to beam voices in the head, same thing as using a laser beam for transmitting TV stations. What's the problem? It's easy. It's if they use microwave. Bypass the eardrum. Real simple. And you hear voices like you think you're hearing. Where am I hearing that voice from? Like something like that. You're like, where's the voices come from? You got the radio on? No. You're like wondering, oh my gosh. Well, this is technology. This is old stuff, man. So they've synthesized demonic influence, because that's what the demons do. Because they're like energy particles. That's all demons are. Have certain energy vibrations. Now, I'm going to stop there. Do y'all get the idea here? So not only can they influence you with the drugs and the technology, but also the supernatural. Man, you need God, because he's supernatural, can override this. You're in a supernatural world. And the physical part of it is temporary. Now, this is what's going on today. And this is coming to a crescendo. This is coming to a pinnacle. This is coming to an end. And it's not going to last much longer. You see, this is real. Not philosophy. It's not religion. And inside your body, in your head, houses your soul. Your soul is this energy in the spirit. It operates on energy fields. You understand this? And there's a battle for that energy field called your soul. And the difference is between taking Jesus as your Savior, he pulls a loving envelopment around you. He says, that's mine, boy. Get yourself back. And so when they put a spell on you, they cast a demon at you. You're protected. And it goes back on them. Because that demon runs into an angel. And that demon runs into protection of the Holy Spirit. And gets spanked. For informal way of telling you. And I have really informalized this. But this is what happens that you don't know about. Now, what we're headed to is what the Bible says, 10 kings and 10 kingdoms. The New World Order is in the Bible. And they can't operate while there's people that's righteous praying. They got big problems. They get little successes here and there, but then they fail. So the idea has been for generations to turn man away from God so there's not that praying going on. And they'll be able to launch their New World Order. But it's bittersweet for them. You know why? Because once they get the New World Order, God's going to dismantle it like a house of cards with a flamethrower. So they're on a losing field. Now, how do they control mankind? Here we go. By secret societies. Masquerading as something good. Others as evil. All kinds of different ways. Witchcraft, Wiccan. Giving them powers, giving them, which is not really them anyway, rewards, benefits, academic rewards, all kinds of ways to hook them and crook them. To show this is a better way. To show that this physical world is where it's all at. Well, I got news for you. It's not. It's going to go down. So this is what's going on today, is that battle. So, now, our veterans, and it was planned this way, actually, to know that America would be the last bastion of those who followed Jesus Christ, the real way, the way it should be followed, taking Jesus as your Savior. And that is becoming an island that's very, really small. And it's getting smaller. Because they've worked on each generation. Using video games and TV and school system, humanist school system, watered down churches, different corrupted Bibles, all kinds of ways. The drugs, all kinds of ways we've talked about over and over and over on my broadcast. To show you how Satan has done it. And he don't sleep. And what's interesting, those that follow him don't sleep much either. They're always conflicted. They've always got that battle going on inside them. Except for those reprobate mind, when they don't have a battle inside them about the evil they do, they better start worrying because God's not going to let them repent. It's in the Bible. Family, this is what's going on the outside. That a lot of people don't realize. And when the troops come back, when the veterans come back from what they made them do over there, they feel conflicted. They don't forgive themselves for what they did, what they were caused to do. Some had to kill children, had to kill women because they were suicide bombers. Then they got angry because they saw their buddies all beaten up, and shot up and taken apart, so that changes you. You don't come back the same. Every time you come and go, a little piece of you is left back there. The drugs keep you medicated. You can't forgive yourself for what you did, what you saw. And they've got you. Well, I say come out of it. That's easy for you to say. I can say it, but you got to come out of it either way. AA don't do it. Drugs don't do it. It's a supernatural war that you're in. Stand up and forgive yourself. Forgive your enemies. And don't let them do it to you eternally. Stand up for yourself and take Jesus as Savior. You're going to cry like a baby. Because of what you did, what you saw, what you're thinking, what you're feeling. But when you give yourself up, Holy Spirit touches you, you're not going to have a dry eye. It is not going to happen. So, Marine, you're going to have to humble yourself. I know this for a fact. If you don't, they're going to get you a second time. You don't want that because that's eternal. It's really important what I'm telling you. Well, I wanted to get that out. So what are they doing? Well, for them to take over the United States, they've been working on it since 1950. And I've explained this on many of my broadcasts, exactly right down to the detail, how they've tried to accomplish it. Then they realized they couldn't do it right off, and they had to, little by little, shave off any kind of connection to Jesus, shave off any kind of connection to family sovereignty of the country, etc. Well, I'm not going to belabor this, because some of my regular listeners have heard this so many times, they've probably got to memorize themselves, but a really good summary of it, said by the first U.N., director of the World Health Organization, Brock Chisholm, 1948, 1953 is when it started. He sums it up in a quote. He said, a quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and their religious dogmas," unquote. And that is what's going on today. Chester Pierce, I'm not going to quote the quote, but Chester Pierce says almost the exact same thing in 1973 to 2,000 teachers in a teachers conference in Denver, Colorado. Almost the same thing. He says, but start them as children. 5 years old, they're all mentally ill, he said. They come to school with the same things I mentioned here. At 5 years old, yeah. It's up to you teachers to train these children to be children of the internet of the future. Pretty much to accept the New World Order. At 1973. All the way up to 1989. I got other quotes. It's continued on. So their biggest stepping stone right now is a well-trained military that they have to dismantle. And that includes our own general staff is a part of this evil. They turn plans over to the enemy. They make sure we got substandard equipment by design. They've tried to thwart efforts, as I explained yesterday, and I hope I shocked the dickens out of people yesterday, and if you want to attack it, you go on ahead, historically, and you'll find out what everything I told you yesterday is true. Our own military commanders, at the highest level, that wars are not won by strategy at all. Wars are won as they have decided who's going to win and lose by Hegelian dialectic. They have already planned it out. And by rules of engagement designed to control the tempo of the war to make sure that who they planned on having to win will win. No matter who wins the battles, it don't matter. They already determined who's going to win the war. Don't matter what you do. No matter how many battles you win or lose, whatever. They got different ways they've done it. This is exactly, for example, now make this really quick. They were going to control, and they did, take down the Tsar in 1904. They planned this out in 1860. They planned it out in 1860. They got Japan from its feudal system. They eliminated the samurai warrior by causing them to fight each other. The samurai versus the emperor. By industrializing, that was the carrot they used. So they had to get rid of the feudal system that controlled Japan at that time. Once they got them the industrialized, they cut their teeth on China in a war. The major goal, about 40 years later, the major goal leading up to the early 1900 was to take down the Tsar of Russia. All because he torpedoed them at the Congress of Vienna. He worked with Lincoln to thwart a UN takeover, a European takeover. That's another story. I'm going to go there. That's a digressing. So the target was to take down the Romanov family. So they waited from 1870s to 1904, 1903 to set it all up. Rules of engagement. Except in this case, two sides, opposite sides of the Rothschild family, one side funded the Emperor of Japan, and another side was funded the Russians. So 1904 to 1905, the ones that funded the Russians said, okay, we ready? Yeah, all right. So they withdrew their funding, so the Russians had no supply. No money for resupply. You can't fight a war without supply. So they engineered that loss. This goes back to the French Revolution, goes back to the Civil War, goes back to World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea. Every single conflict we've ever been in our entire history, including the Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War, it was all pre-orchestrated. It was already planned who's going to win and who's going to lose, no matter who fought, no matter what tactics were used, is already planned out ahead of time. Evidence is clear. You see what I'm talking about now? So, the takedown of America began in 1950. Takedown meaning what? We got to get rid of the vets. We trained them well. Now let's get rid of them. And the realization they couldn't use Americans against Americans anymore because we're too apathetic, really, because of the mass medication. That's another story. They started bringing UN troops in 1993 and Chinese troops and Russian troops. Thanks to Carter, Clinton, Bush. They knew they had to use UN troops, and that began in the 1990s. And that's what you got. So now, they got to reduce the effectiveness of our U.S. military. So now what I'm trying to do is tell you how they're doing it. So, that being said, the strength lies in Jesus Christ. Literally. Just what I talked about an hour ago. Or 45 minutes ago. That's the whole bottom line. Now, what I want to talk about specifically is one method that is taking place that was engineered starting in the 1990s. By Clinton. Don't ask, don't tell. I was a recruiting officer in Buffalo, New York during the days of disco. You know how to dance disco, don't you? Disco here and that go there and disco here and that go there. Yeah, 1978, 79. Yeah. The disco era. I was in Buffalo, New York as a lieutenant. That was dangerous. A ball-headed disco, John Travolta. No. Well, I was a recruiting officer at a recruiting station in Buffalo, New York. And we would ask the recruits as they were brought in from the various recruiting stations and so forth, substations, are you ever been involved in homosexual activities? Yes, I have, he says. Sorry, you can't come in. Next, that's simple. You're not coming in my Marine Corps. Go somewhere else, but they don't ask you or whatever. But you're not getting in the Marines if you have been engaging in homosexual activity. Simple as that. Well, around 1993, Clinton said, don't ask, don't tell. So I wasn't a recruiting officer then. I was out in the civilian sector as a government contractor in anti-terrorism. And so I wasn't recruiting. But when you say don't ask, don't tell, that means you don't ask them the question. It's very simple. So the homosexuals are coming in now. You know, job opportunity and all this and all that. So you kill the jobs of the private sector. Make it hard to live. They're going to go where? There's peacetime, so to speak. In the military. Get you, you know, some kind of skill, whatever, and paid for and all this and all that. And so they're all coming in now, 1993, 94, 95, all the way up to the year 2000. And, of course, Iraq's going on there, and that's another story. I'm going there right now. So the homosexuals come in, and that's how it began. Well, what they didn't tell anybody was that was an effort to weaken the forces. Family. You can't have a homosexual male and a straight male taking showers together and not be a problem. It ain't going to happen. What is going to happen is not good. You can't bring women to frontline units and expect there's not going to be major problems. And boys that are away from home and missing their girlfriends and wives, come on now. And you got women out there and they're in the tents and in the field. Come on. You got to be kidding me. There's not going to be problems? Yeah, right. Well, they know that. So they use this as a weapon at the highest level to reduce the effectiveness of our military. And boy, it worked something awful. That means down south, it worked really well for them. Y'all got it? This is one way that they did it. Now, that being said, here's what the results were. And I give you a little report here how it worked out. Not long ago, about a year ago, actually, almost a year, it'll be a year, exactly a year, in a couple of days. A former Marine Lance Corporal, I'm not going to name the name, I mean, it's here common, but I'm not comfortable naming the name. This Marine Lance Corporal tried to kill himself after he watched his rapist walk free. He shared the story to journalists, a male. His rapist was a male. You know that 22 to 26 veterans commit suicide every single day. And this one Lance Corporal was almost one of them. He said, and I quote, "Choosing death was my way of taking responsibility for my circumstances." The former Marine Lance Corporal told members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Subcommittee on Personnel on this particular day, quote, "I felt my death would spare my wife, daughter, and myself the dishonor the rape brought upon us," unquote. So from the wheelchair to which he had been confined ever since his self-inflicted gunshot wound left him paraplegic, 32-year-old started the committee's hearing on the relationship between military, sexual assault, post-traumatic stress, and suicide, and he gave a testimony. He recounted the details of his own sexual assault and its horrifying aftermath. He was drugged to the point of incapacitation, sexually assaulted by a fellow Marine, a former staff sergeant, while on active duty, humiliated at the thought of his helplessness. And 2 months after the attack, nightmares, anxiety, depression, confusion overpowered his fear and embarrassment, and this Lance Corporal confronted a base social worker who reported the attack to Naval Criminal Investigative Service, NCIS, investigated crimes involving Naval and Marine Corps personnel. And it would only further his humiliation, even more so. You're a macho Marine, right? And you got a wife and kid and you've been raped? Huh. He said he was forced to make recorded phone calls to his rapist, even confront him in his house while wearing a wire in order to get a confession. He accomplished his mission, but his nightmare was far from being over. His attacker was arrested, hit with several charges, including sexual assault and sodomy. But after only a week in court, evidence shed light on his 23 years of service, and he walked away with a bad conduct discharge. No jail time. And this Marine that was assaulted said his rapist was ordered to NCIS headquarters for fingerprinting, only to reveal that he'd dulled his skin on his fingertips. He managed to refuse to register on the sex offender database by simply saying, "I don't have to. I don't have to." So, quote, "To this day, I don't know," he says, "where my perpetrator is. Not knowing his location leaves me looking over my shoulder for the rest of my life. I was not afforded the same rights as the rape victims in the civilian world. Where are my choices?" Unquote. So this hearing was led by Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, and they aimed to find an answer to his question. They proposed the Military Justice Improvement Act. It removes the authority to prosecute sexual assault away from the chain of command. But it was blocked in the Senate. Do you know in the military they're trying to get past the bestiality? That's so that they would allow sodomy to take place. Look it up. The victim we're talking about here and the fellow sexual assault survivor, former Army Private PFC Jessica Kenyon, gathered alongside Defense Department officials and mental health professionals on Capitol Hill to argue on behalf of keeping the bill alive. Did you all know that the Pentagon saw reports of unwanted sexual encounters jump from 19,000 in 2010 to 26,000 in 2012? And men comprised 53% of the victims. Now, I see a big problem here when you're on a frontline unit and you got to go to combat anytime you don't know when, and you got to build a fire team, a squad, a platoon, a company into a firefighting unit. How's that going to work? Well, that's where I get down on these Joint Chief of Staff cowards that briefed the Council of Foreign Relations. That's created this event, created this condition by design to reduce the effectiveness of our military, to increase the number of suicides, to increase the number it's going to take the antidepressants, which causes the suicides, and homosexuals, because they're possessed by a demonic entity, to get right blunt about it, commit suicide. And to be utterly quite blunt, when you exchange bodily fluids, you've opened up a portal allowing a demonic entity to come inside you. Now, some of you may be accepting that. Some of you may not have a clue what I'm talking about. But I have to, for those that do know, that's exactly what happens. That's why when you have adultery, you have to do an adulterous act. It's something supernatural going on. It's not just having a little bit of hanky-panky in a little motel while you go home to your wife. It involves a supernatural involvement. It's spiritual. There's a lot going on. It's like the wife says, "Well, where's you tonight?" She don't know why, but she knows something ain't right. Family, it's supernatural. When you exchange bodily fluids, you understand what I'm saying? demonic entities in the inner of the body. That's why it's called adultery. That's why love is gone with it. It divides the marriage, it destroys the marriage. And you destroy the marriage with adultery, you destroy the family. You destroy the family, the strategy, the rule is, you will destroy a country. That's what feminism was funded by the CIA. That's a fact. Rockefellers provide the money and funding to get feminism. Feminism was designed to destroy the family. You destroy the family, you destroy the country. That's what Vladimir Lenin said, unquote. You see what? There's a bigger picture that people realize. And what really irritates them when you have evidence. You see, they don't like that none. So let's get back down to where we are. There's a report released in about November 2014 by the Center for American Progress, a left-wing kind of think tank, and it suggested the number of sexual assaults were much higher than the Pentagon's estimates. And that would make a lot of sense, since the Pentagon lies anyway. What they do to children at the Pentagon in that little center part where the ramp goes down in those rooms is egregious. And the ones that know exactly what I'm talking about. So anyway, sodomy opens up portals for the individual committing the sodomy. And when a demon comes inside, it gives them powers. Remote viewing. Being able to handle energy. Other kind of things like that. The drugs do the same thing. You see, there's more going on than people even have any idea about. Now, the one of the ones talking, when you listen to their testimony, she had suffered from severe depression. Here you go. When you suffer a severe depression, you go get help, won't you? And what are they always going to do? Give you those darn drugs, antidepressants. And what do the drugs do? They cause you to commit suicide. Now, I've proven this over and over with testimony, or one after the other in my previous broadcast. What happens is post-traumatic stress, we're not talking going to combat. We're talking sexual harassment. We're talking rape. Severe depression, bouts of insomnia, debilitating memories and thoughts, triggers all sorts of anger, chattering in her head, and constant anxiety to the point of being forced to use all her concentration just to appear normal. Now, how can you do your job that sometimes will have an impact on people's lives when you got all this going on? Hinders her ability, she said, to read, write, and have a conversation and remember things in the short term, unquote. She also noted that there's anxiety disorders such as post-traumatic stress, depression, substance abuse disorders, very common among the military members. Those that experience sexual trauma, same as those in combat. Even studies have shown that the veterans experiencing these symptoms of military sexual trauma are more denied disability benefits by the Department of Veterans Affairs. A discrimination disregard for the experience only compounds the post-traumatic stress disorder. She said, and I quote, "I want to make sure that people aren't forced to choose between the mental health and the benefits they've earned from the U.S. government." But then the troop, when he goes in, says, "Well, I'm hearing voices, I'm having this depression." It's noted, oh, he's got post-traumatic stress. Oh, Bush signed the Veterans Disarmament Act in 2006. So if you diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, you can't own a home weapon. They've got it covered for the time being. So these two that testified on behalf of countless others, proof that commanders are not doing their job. And I submit to you, it's not that you're not doing their job. Uh-uh. That's the problem. They are doing their job. Their job is to reduce the effectiveness of our military. And our own military subordinates under them don't know that. Oh, the problem is they're doing their job. And their job is to take us down, our own military commanders to the highest level, Joint Chief of Staff, the members at Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits, Rhodes Scholars, like Wesley Clark, Knights of Malta, like Jerry Boykin. Neither one of them are patriots by no stretch of the imagination. Rick Joyner, they're Knights of Malta. If they're Knights of Malta, they're taking a blood oath to take you down. And they lie when they get up and say they're patriots. They're not. If you knew them as patriots 30 years ago, they're not the same one today. They took a blood oath for the secret society agenda. They were convinced that this is the best way to go, the New World Order. They're different. Did you know, in one research I ran across, piece, it said that the military, quote, taught us to never leave a fallen comrade. Yet millions of our fellow servicemen and women from the Korean Vietnam Wars to the Gulf War and post-9/11 war eras are being left behind with post-traumatic stress disorder. 83% of those are afflicted with post-traumatic stress have either not been diagnosed or do not receive treatment. Every day they suffer alone in silence with the invisible wounds of war. And every day, 22 to 26 commit suicide. They have an organization that's set up to try to curb these suicides. They're by an individual by the name of a former veteran, by Paul Rakoff. Except here's a problem. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Mm-hmm. That means he works for the enemy. That means he's there to slow us down. And so because veterans don't know that, they're not going to demand he be replaced with a veteran that's not a member, and a veteran that can be trusted, like back in the days of 1930s with General Butler. See, they thought they could win him over when they tried the military takeover of the U.S. government. They thought he was going to win him over to lead. That everybody would follow him because they trusted him. Well, he showed his true colors. He blew the whistle on Congress. He blew the whistle on the ones leading the revolt to Congress. He's a true patriot, not like the JCS you've got today. You see, that's how it works. And now they've really got it infiltrated. So what are you going to do about it, huh? What can people do about it? Praying. I'm not done. I'm just talking right now. The challenge is, say, we get Paul Rakoff off there and can put a fellow veteran in there that's really going to make things happen. But then again, you also know that wars are never won by strategy. They're won by the State Department's interference with the maneuvering units. That's how it really is won and lost. I'm getting to that shortly. I can certainly tell you I'll be talking about this again tomorrow. More of it, more details. Your Veterans Administration is divided. You got some good people there, and you got some people at the high level. They're trying to slow things down. You got some good administrators and technicians in the Veterans Administration. But you've also got those that's connected to the CFR. They're trying to do just the opposite. So there's a battle going on behind the scenes. So now you see the effect. And I've just scratched the surface, not even given the justice for it. Now you see the purpose of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And then it was either Bush or it's going to be the next president appointed. He never elected. Obama. They're all the same. They all work together. They pretend to be opposite, but they're not. To say, now you come out of the closet. That's really bad. The statistics are probably even scaled down. How many will never tell that they've been raped? Drugged, held down, raped, and they wake up. The embarrassment of a tough, weightlifted Marine has just been raped. And if he kills the individuals, he's going to prison. Because there's no way to say, well, you know, you can't defend yourself. I protected my life. Can't claim that either. You see what the problem? Then you got to work with them because they're probably in the same unit. Well, your high-level commanders know this. This is only part of the way they're trying to do the takedown. That's what I'm telling you. This is not a consequence of just some dumb decisions made on administration. This is by design to reduce the effectiveness on purpose. In late 2010, Congress used a lame duck session after November elections, and they overturned Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The de facto ban on open homosexual behavior in U.S. military, even Republicans caved in. Scott Brown voted for it, but bragged about voting for it in his television commercials and ran for re-election. 2012, running for president, Mitt Romney, cousin of George Bush. Did you know that? They're solid cousins. Mitt Romney and George Bush and Cheney, they're all bloodline cousins. He told reporters that repeal was working fine and he would not attempt to reverse it. There's a male-on-male rape epidemic today. And then you got the risk of HIV and AIDS. That disease was, or that virus was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland, to use for population control. It was created. It didn't come from some monkey by accident. It was created in a laboratory by design. It's even admitted by some of the technicians. According to the Daily Mail, a newspaper in the United Kingdom, male-on-male rape in the United States military is reaching epidemic proportions. When a man enters the military, he's 10 times likelier to be sexually abused. In 2012 alone, there was an estimated 14,200 reports of male rape. Now, I covered this past couple days about this. I've been giving you statistics now. And, family, this is only barely scratching the surface of what's going on about our attack on our military veterans. And I'm hoping that maybe those that don't like me in the Joint Chief of Staff, and I'm sure they don't, will hear my broadcast, even if for 10 minutes, and when they hear it the way I'm putting it out, maybe one of them will actually realize, you know, gosh, this conviction will tear his heart. And then he'll come clean and put his heart back together through Jesus. That's what I'm hoping. But somebody will hear what they're doing and realize, you know, I am doing something bad. This isn't right. Something. Because I know, we know that Jesus Christ is coming back. They will not win. It's impossible. But in the meantime, trying to get those saved that have their souls darkened by the rape, by the drugs, and them to come out of it is the goal. So unless you pray, humble ourselves before the Almighty God, witness to them when God brings them to you, to pray that they slow down, to pray that they have problems in accomplishing this task. Won't stop the judgment coming eventually, but it lengthens the time of divine appointments that can be set up for people so they'll have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's really the bottom line. That's what it boils down to. Individually. So now you understand the impact of this don't ask, don't tell. And the real purpose of it. As supported by our own military, our own political arena, to weaken U.S. forces, just that one area. That's all, just that one area. Everything else is the drugs and equipment and all that. That's another thing. Depleted uranium. Well, that's a pet peeve of mine. The Iraqi vets and uranium poisoning. That was all set up. That wasn't accidental or some stupid mistake made by engineers. Let's make 100 tanks with the outer shell of depleted uranium. Oh, we made a mistake. Or make depleted uranium rounds that when it hits the target, and you go out in the field, it activates the uranium. Oh, we must have made a mistake. Not a mistake at all. Agent Orange was also on purpose to give him cancer. They used to make sure it happened. They used the barrels for shower heads. Can you imagine? Nobody said to carefully discard the barrels that they're full of cancer-causing materials. No, they made shower heads for them. A particular unit's got a name for it. It's got the sides of it, like shower curtains on either side, four sides, and on top of a wooden type construction, two barrels with holes in them. And then for the shower, Marines would pour hot water into the barrel, and the barrel would go through the holes, be a shower. In the Agent Orange barrels. Coming from there. Come on now. What about hazmat? Ever heard of that? Well, it was to start the cancer, that's why. Any way possible they could get cancer in the body. That's why they wanted to reduce the effectiveness of the baby boomers, 1970s, 1980s. You see, I know this sounds crazy, but when you put it together, you see a picture forming. Now, that's only the part we're talking about of the homosexuality, the rapes, to divide the forces. The other way is by rules of engagement. Rules of engagement were designed to control the outcome of all wars. Now, what are rules of engagement? Well, these are directives issued by competent, excuse me, I got something in my throat on that one, by competent military authority that pretty much delineates circumstances and limitations that United States forces would initiate or continue combat engagement with other forces encountered. Usually comes from the State Department, the command level. And the rules of engagement that was used specifically in the Southeast Asia War was one of the most controversial aspects of that conflict. They wanted that war to last a long time. So the rules of engagement were designed to do just that. And also to target the veterans during that Southeast Asia conflict, police action, to make sure they got cancer, to make sure they got post-traumatic stress, to make sure they died, to make sure they got weak, to make sure there's drugs there, and so the CIA could bring back cocaine and heroin from the fields. Since all they had was South America until 1960, then the Bushes and all the rest of them was bringing over through the Gulf, through the oil platforms, like Leapfrog, drugs from South America. Well, now it opened up in Southeast Asia. Now it's Afghanistan to bring drugs into America, brought in by the CIA and their contract airports. Arkansas, the old Billy Bob Clinton, yeah. Right up there with the big boys. To Medicaid America, set up for the North American Union. So you see, family, it's all connected. It's all connected. Every single bit of it's connected. The rules of engagement, they couldn't go so far, they couldn't do certain things, they couldn't win the war, wouldn't let them. The Vietnam War, as I've shown evidence over and over, and the Korean War, as I've shown evidence over and over, was designed to lose. The veterans fought hard for what they thought was for democracy and family and all this and all that. That's why I wanted to join. That's why I joined up myself in 1972, 73, was to go fight. That was my only purpose, to join the military in the 70s, because that was my duty. That's what I had to do. It was the mindset back then. Who was the enemy? The commies. All right, fine, whoever. Whoever the enemy is, I'm going after them. I never made it to Vietnam. I missed it by 2 months, actually. Nixon got us out of it. By the time I graduated, was becoming commissioned and was going to TBS, I figured, well, I'm on my way to Vietnam. Yeah. Well, no. 2 months before I graduated, it ended. So I never went to Vietnam. Rules of engagement are a device that's used by commanders, and they set forth the parameters of when, how, and for what duration, or what magnitude, and what geographical locations that the targets can that the forces can employ, and generally it's deadly force in this case. Rules of engagement work in the military. They contain the caveat that nothing in these rules of engagement shall limit the right inherent right of self-defense. You're dealing with a police action here. Now, what's left unspoken, but legally very significant, is the phrase, when confronted with a, quote, imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury, because we're confronted with threats that may raise a level of self-defense at all the time. Most of those threats, however, don't require deadly force response. It's a lot of confusion caused because of rules of engagement. I explained yesterday how they affected the Korean War by design. And actually, World War II. You see, all the tactics that you learn as a professional military man doesn't mean a thing. I saw, We Were Soldiers, I think it was, that Gibson actor, whatever, plays a part of a colonel that was sent to Vietnam, one of the first deployments. And it shows in the movie, about doing all the studying and tactics and Custer and all this, studying, getting ready to go to Vietnam, and one of the first units to go over there. all this studying and getting ready for it and all that. And then first they hit the landing zone and set up a perimeter of a the outcome was already determined. Rules of engagement was employed. All that studying of tactics doesn't mean a thing. Because if you were winning, they're going to slow you down. That's how it really operated. Iraq is full of the rules of engagement. If the commanders only knew this, I just wonder what they would do. But they wouldn't believe me anyway. I wouldn't believe it if I was in a combat area and I hear some crazy guy on the radio say that rules of engagement is there to slow you down. What are you talking about? You have to explain the whole story that's of what I talk about. Because as military professionals, we couldn't believe that our own country would do this to us. But it's not just us. It's Australia. It's Britain doing the same thing to their troops as well. See? It's not just us. This world government is what's taken off. And it's their priority in every country. And every commander. And every leader. And every president. Every prime minister. It's the same thing. Not just America at all. They all play a part. In one quote, we're willing to restrict ourselves to the point of helplessness to avoid even the possibility of civilian casualties, said one military officer, referred to as Evan, we'll call him, speaking on condition of anonymity. Quote, I have personally watched the same man arm and disarm 12 improvised explosive devices over a week with no strikes allowed due to collateral concerns. The failure of the war does not rest in the hands of the brave troops who patrol every day. It lies with top military leadership and politicians who've effectively choked our troops so badly that their mission has become impossible. That's what they're doing. And I'm hoping somebody hears what I'm saying and will start making a little bit of a noise up there in D.C. Now, wouldn't that be a hoot? If they understand what I'm saying is true, and somehow start doing something about it. Now, that would be worth every bit of it. You know, the Australian Herald, Sydney Morning Herald, quote, our pilots refused to bomb 40 times. Frank Walker, March 14, 2004. Quote, Australia's F/A-18 pilots defied the orders of American commanders, refused to drop their bombs on up to 40 missions during the invasion of Iraq. It can now be revealed in a remarkable account of how our airmen, from an Australian point of view, applied Australian rules of engagement. An RAF pilot told the Sun Herald each of the 14 RAAF Horn pilots aborted 3 to 4 bombing runs because intelligence given at pre-flight briefings did not concur with what they found at the target, unquote. Mm-hmm. Did you all know, my regular listeners do, I don't know who is a regular listener today and who's not. I was over in Kosovo at a time, October 99, but before I got there in October 99 to help rebuild what Wesley Clark tore down, Wesley Clark was commander of the forces involved in taking on the Serbs in Kosovo in June 1999. Long story short, in June 99, he's known as a man who's tried to start, the general who's tried to start World War III. There's a lot to that. I'm not going to go into right now, but that's true. Look it up right now while I'm talking if you want to. He ordered the mechanized unit of the Brits to engage and block the Russians, 200 Spetsnaz members, on their route to the Pristina airport when they landed. Now, the Russians were part of the forces, friendly forces. And yet, Wesley Clark, a Rhodes Scholar, by the way, right there is the dirty part. Wesley Clark ordered the Brits to engage the Russians, who were on our side, supposedly, allegedly. So they had come into contact with each other, and guns were raised in June 99. Well, James Blunt, who was a lieutenant then, reserve, leading the mechanized unit, said, this is not right. Something's really wrong with this. He called his general, Michael Jackson, by the way. That's a hoot. And told his general Jackson the problem they had with 200 Spetsnaz and mechanized unit aiming guns at each other. And General Jackson said, I'll take care of it. He contacted Wesley Powderpuff Clark and said, I will not start World War III for you, unquote, and called it down and told James Blunt to back off. He refused, very smartly, General Clark's errant command and order. Refused it. They tried to start World War III over there. The American administration, Wesley Clark. You could not trust that individual. I wouldn't trust him to take care of my kitty cat. He's a Rhodes Scholar. Right there is dirty already. Bad dirty. Bad, bad, bad. That's what's going on today. Right up to date. That's what you're dealing with. If he becomes a vice president working with Hillary, we got a whole lot of trouble. Yeah, I thought I'd throw that in there. And I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm done. You got the point? So, the other units, the other countries, wonder what in the dickens we're up to over there. With our rules of engagement, designed to start wars, not stop them. I have evidence and I have information that the restrictive rules of engagement in Vietnam were put in place by President Johnson to ensure that the war did not escalate. Because, see, Johnson feared the Chinese and Soviet intervention. The president hoped to achieve results by using an air pressure campaign to coerce the North Vietnamese to discontinue supporting the Viet Cong. But in reality, they wanted to extend it to target our veterans and also for defense spending and to enhance the boogeyman called communism. Yes, sir. Because they're going to use that up right to 87. As a fictitious, alternate enemy. Always got to have that enemy. To justify defense spending, cause fear, and control. That's what that's used for. You know, there's a lot of airmen that flew during the Vietnam War, for example. They believe that victory would have been possible for the United States had there been less restrictive rules of engagement. And that assertion may not be entirely true because certainly there's multiple causes for failures of U.S. air power in Vietnam. However, it was apparent at that time that overly restrictive rules of engagement had dramatic negative effect on the outcome of the air campaign. What they don't know is this is planned out and as I mentioned yesterday, your false flags. So if they're going to have, everyone's been a false flag. Gulf of Tonkin, sinking of the Maine, the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor. Every one of them were a false flag. So if they set up a false flag operation, you know that the outcome is already determined. Otherwise, we wouldn't set up a false flag. That means the war is pre-planned. Long time before they had it. For a specific reason. And the outcome already determined. That takes you way away from military history and all that sort of thing, and theory and strategy and so forth, to the reality of it. Now, this suicide we're talking about with our military, I want to go back to that. The suicide rate is way over the top. And, you know, if they just get rid of Paul Rykov, if they would actually put some veterans in there that had some clout, had some control, if the veterans knew exactly what was going on that we're talking about right now, everyone that dies, were they born again? It's just very disturbing. That's not, you know, it's just, you know, what do you do? And you try to tell them the source of it, they're not going to believe it. Even with evidence that their own government is behind it. Same thing for the other countries too. They've got a project called the Microwave Scream Inside the Skull. When I went to the VA on more than one occasion, I heard a group of them talking several times about their condition and about Vietnam and about Iraq and so forth. And I said, well, anybody ever heard those voices inside the head? Boy, people got awful quiet. I looked for the eyes to start shifting around, and I found one. And I kind of kept my eyes on them, and I went over and started talking. Sure enough, some of them hear those voices, and they can't talk about it. You've got a project called Medusa. The U.S. military bankrolled early development of what's called a non-lethal microwave weapon that creates sound inside the head. This actual device, this actual technology, is being used in Walmart stores as testing for advertisement. It's called Medusa. It's a contrived acronym for what's called Mob Excess Deterrent Using Silent Audio. But it's not confused with the long-range acoustic devices and other kind of gadgets that simply project sound out. It's different. This one uses what's called a microwave auditory effect. It's a beam of microwaves that's turned into sound by interaction with your head. Nobody else can hear it unless they're in the beam as well. And this effect has been the laboratory curiosity with no application, but the application we know has been targeted. Well, it's called targeted individuals, TIs. It's called a telepathic ray gun. So you get thoughts in your head, not your thoughts. Your voices in your head, it's being projected. It was mentioned in a 1998 U.S. Army study turned up in the Freedom of Information Act fairly recently, and the Navy decided to put some research and design dollars into the project. And one Dr. Sadovnik offered some details. He said that there's health risks involved, but the biggest issue from this microwave weapon is not radiation. It's the risk of brain damage from the high-intensity shockwave created by the microwave pulse. They don't realize, in other words, it can induce a stroke. or hear voices and cause suicide as they're taking drugs, or hypnotize them while they sleep. You see the possibilities? Or fake the speaking of tongues. So in any case, this doctor, suggested that instead of using high power to create an intolerable noise, which was what was used on the Iraqs in the first war, what do you think of thousands and thousands of them just surrendered? They used them as guinea pigs. That they would, he suggested, not knowing the full potential of it, what it was used for, to try to curb it, he said it could be used at low power, produce a whisper that's too quiet to perceive consciously, but it might be able to subconsciously influence someone. And a directional beam will be used for targeted messages, such as in-store promotions, this kind of thing. And that's being done in one town here in Virginia, near Mount Airy, North Carolina, in Walmart store. They got one set up. And this doctor also suggests that the subliminal advertising, being information that's not consciously heard, which is what's noted in the voice-to-skull technology, the effectiveness of subliminal persuasion is actually quite dubious. That's what they want. Hence, you get murder-suicide. You understand this? The impact of this, what I'm telling you? You get the murder-suicides. You get the assassination of Chris Kyle. You get, when the Marine or the Army comes back, the guy comes back, and a week or two later, he kills his wife and kids, himself. That's where it's coming from. And these darn drugs are putting in their bodies. In 2010, actually, there's a group of military veterans that were suing to get the CIA to come clean about implanting remote control devices in their brains. It's well known the CIA began testing substances like LSD on soldiers in the 1950s. But less is known about allegations about the agency implanting electrodes in subjects. Well, I got news for you. That's 1993, wasn't it? 2010? They're coming out with it? Well, I always dig deep. And here's what I found. I found a 92-page monograph. The title of it was Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. The title is, again, Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders, unquote. Now, I got a copy of that. And it was funded by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare Department in 1971. Oh. That threw a wrench in it, didn't it? You see, the thesis was that the social or cultural or political, quote-unquote, rehabilitation began inside the nervous system of the citizen. So what they did with felons from one particular prison as test subjects, they had a miniaturized radio transmitter, and it was implanted inside the brain or the body, and it would monitor and transmit conversations, locations, and even the sexual response of the subject 24 hours per day. Now, they picked felons that were homosexual. And they could monitor sexual response. So with a homosexual felon would get a sexual response, you understand? We have a little surprise coming. Because this report also explains that sewed up inside the subject's body, surgically, and along with the transponder, was a radio-controlled electrical shock device. And that device would deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world in 1971. So in other words, if he's doing a little hanky-panky behind a woodshed and it shows up on their screen, somebody simply does whatever they do with a button or something or another and bzzz. And that certainly would kill any kind of feeling that you might have of lovey-dovey. That's what they did. Now, who are the offenders or subjects that they're talking about here in this report? Well, the author was Professor Ralph K. Schwitzbell of Harvard University, a Tavistock card-carrying college that's pretty much owned by Rockefellers by their contributions and $20 million and whatever. Harvard. And they were dwelling on homosexuals as a test subject. But then they were talking about offenders' financial matters and disputes over financial obligations. And what it really got me when I read it was socially troublesome persons. Oh. Now, this paper in 1971, because of the technology that's just now coming out, because it's been around for a long time, if they reported 1971 here, but the paper predicted micro-miniaturization, and what it would do would permit near-permanent intracranial stimulation. There's even a National Security Agency computer specialist that proposed attaching miniature electronic tracking devices to 20 million Americans. Kind of put a whole wrinkle to the word, I got a bug on me. The transponder would transmit the wearer's location by radio to a computer and could be used for arrests following riots or confrontations, for monitoring aliens and political subgroups. You had Dr. Robert and Ralph Schwitzbell. And they urged the government to consider increased usage of devices and designed to control, quote-unquote, group behavior. What they wanted to do was convince them to switch away a small portion of the defense budget spending to this project. Have you ever heard of the Mark of the Beast? Digital tattoo. Now you see what's going on. Well, they knew that electrical impulses injected into the brain can induce or inhibit or modify movement, desire, rage, aggression, fear, pain, and pleasure. But you gotta know where to go with it. And they did it. And at the same time period, just about, at Yale, another card-carrying Tavistock organization, Yale School of Medicine, Jose Delgado, he implanted radio transceivers into the heads of his experimental animals so he could monitor, control their activities and emotions from distant locations. Control activities and motions from distant locations. Computers have already been tested in subjects in mental hospitals. They're programmed for undesirable behavior and send out inhibitory instructions. It's just amazing what they got set up. and they're using. And nobody's got a clue. And the ones that's involved with it, they think they're going to win. So nobody's doing anything about anything. It just befuddles my mind, I tell you. And you show them, they just call you crazy. I don't mind it at all, because I know I got the evidence for it, but it's not making the impact I wish it would. You understand? So this is the mark of the beast. So you see what this potential of this tattoo on your arm has. And there's a lot of credence to this lawsuit going on since 2010, accusing the CIA and Defense Department of septal implants. Because right there it is. There's a beginning study of the prototype. Oh, man, I tell you. I've been doing this for a long time now. And the impact, I have no idea. I get feedback from some people on occasion. I got several people that on a regular basis, they listen and say, well, Tom, you missed this, or that was a good thing you said there, or that could have been developed more. I want constructive criticism. I want to know how to make things better, to have more impact. And so I get some evaluations from friends I trust. And you know that your electrical shock therapy is used or had been used in mental institutions for depression? And people believe it? They got nose spray? No anti-suicide nose spray. Now, no, where's the general that cried out about that? Not one. That's ridiculous. No spray that's going to stop suicides. That's almost insulting. Come on now. You know, I mean, what's the sensibility about all this? Remote neural monitoring. All this stuff, psychotronic attacks. They've got thousands of targets, individuals as targeted, they call it. Satellite delivered, extra low frequency, communicate voice to skull transmission, produces schizophrenic symptoms. And these veterans don't know this. Doggone, they don't know that they're being targeted. It's not them. It's just so frustrating. You know, you can't get this word out to them. And if they hear it, they're going to run away and say, oh, this guy's crazy. You'll see the evidence. No. What? 100,000 Vietnam vets commit suicide from 1975 to 2012. In addition, 68,000 thereabouts died. So that's 168,000. 100,000 just from suicides. From Vietnam alone. You got the word called gang stalking. Man, get right with Jesus. That is the actual answer. Because you're here a temporary period of time. That's the bottom line. Nothing here on this earth is permanent. I mean, there's absolutely nothing permanent. Nothing whatsoever. Oh, you're so negative. It's not about negative. It's about reality. Heaven is eternal. And you'll be removed from this earth for a period of time till that 7-year tribulation can go, 3.5 years of trumpets, judgment upon this earth. Supernatural, we can't imagine that, what's going to happen if you're still here. If it happens this generation. But nobody knows. Not supposed to know. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, December the 12th, 2017, God's coming. 2012, okay, it means 2018, 16, 17. Okay, I got 3 years to sin and do what I want to do, get that out of the way, get my bucket list filled, so I know Jesus is not coming 2017. Yeah, you know, you got it. And when he does come, it's the wrong Jesus. Jesus don't have long hair, blue eyes. He's Arab-looking, short hair, Arab-looking, big nose. You got it? So, you know, you get ready, man. The hair's going to fly. When the supernatural takes the charge, oh, man, you can't imagine. If somebody was to see ghosts nowadays, they'd have a heart attack. Well, you wait, the supernatural sticks up its head come about the tribulation period. You won't be able to imagine what people are going to do. They'll call for the mountains to fall upon them, as it says in the Bible. Now, we're coming to the end of the program here. I am going to continue on tomorrow. Tomorrow, I want to cover a bigger picture, a little bit more of the smaller picture, big pieces and small pieces. We'll cover it tomorrow again. And how they set this up. I want to talk about suicide specifically tomorrow. A little bit more detail about specifically suicide. And individually. Also remind you, we're played up in highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Plays my broadcast and Bible studies on his network in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And we just appreciate it. You can find his sponsors on his website. And use the sponsors if you're up there in those three states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Also, my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And family, we're about to end of that time. I know that the Talk Stream Live will shut down here shortly, and then I'll continue talking on my program, on my website, until about top of the hour, which is about 3 minutes away. So tomorrow we'll cover a little bit more detail about suicide, and a little bit about what's called the Hegelian dialectic, from parts of it that I haven't talked about before, about the dialectic. That's my goal anyway. So, and anything else, we got Thursday, we got Friday for any close downs, and we'll see where we are, because I got a lot to talk about, family, a whole lot to try to warn people. I just feel something's coming. But you know, God's behind it all. As far as allowing things to happen or not. He gives Satan certain latitudes. Then he holds them back. Family, don't you know if they were in control, they'd already achieved a new world order? Because there's people still today don't have a clue. Without one idea what the dickens going on. And that includes your four-star generals. If they really knew, even with secret societies, ultra top secret, don't matter. If they really knew about the supernatural, if they knew the results, they wouldn't be doing this. So that means they don't know. They're caught up in their own self-worth. That's where God put them. Allows them to do that because they rejected the truth. Well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by tonight, this afternoon. Tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. On my website, I'll break in on it with a live Bible study, 8 to 9 o'clock tonight. And any comments, whatever, you can address it to the Facebook. You can find me there. Or tgambletom@yahoo.com. tgambletom@yahoo.com. If you have any comments, recommendations, or anything else, it's fine, too. Well, family, I'm going to go ahead and go now. And this is always the hardest part, you know, trying to figure out how to bow out and move on. Because I got to come back on again in 2 hours and give you a Bible study for those who want to join me. And y'all welcome to join. So, there you go. And tomorrow we'll continue on, talking about the same thing, but some more information. The same subject, excuse me. The same subject. And we'll give you more details tomorrow. And I'll see where the Lord leads me in tomorrow. Y'all have a good night. And God bless all of you. And spread the word. Spread the gospel. That's the most important thing. Trust in the Lord, Jesus Christ. He is coming back. And take those fears away. Have a good night. God bless you. This is your watchman, Thomas Campbell, and I'm signing off.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Every day.